Well, we're going to switch to more local topics here right now. And joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Elliot Richardson. He's founder and CEO of the Small Business Advocacy Council. Elliot, as always, welcome, and thanks for joining me this morning.
Rick, thank you so much for having me.
It was a busy week in Springfield. We had the governor's budget message laying out his priorities. He says it's balanced, but he said every budget that he's presented has been balanced, which isn't the case. This may come closer in a balancing act, as it were, if various things were to come to pass. Things like moving the cost, shifting cost of pensions onto local governments, local school districts, local universities, changes in employee health care and collective bargaining, things that, quite frankly, aren't likely to happen. But you know, this is we're in a kind of a real difficult situation here because we're not going to be raising any taxes. It's an election year. Revenue is what it is. It's not growing very fast. It's a difficult circumstance.
Well, it's remarkably difficult. And we're here in the studio in Chicago. And Chicago's an incredible place. And Illinois is a great place. And you want to see politicians solve problems. And unfortunately, these budget addresses on both sides of the aisle, state of the states, state of the unions, you know, what they really have become, in my humble opinion, is more political theater. And when you look at all of them and really dissect them, there's not a whole lot of problem solving going on. It's sort of, you know, talking into an echo chamber, you know, tax cuts in a time when the state is starved of revenue. I completely understand the concept of growing ourselves out of the fiscal hole that Illinois is in. That's a wonderful thing to try to do. But at the same time, you know, are the proposals that are being put forth actually feasible? And that's the real question.
Feasible now, and doable.
And doable. Now, on the other side, it's not enough, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans that are responding, to just poke holes. Like, we need solutions. We need people to put their party, I'm sorry, the state over their party, I said that backwards, get in a room and try to solve these problems, because our pension crisis isn't going anywhere. And when you think about small businesses and how they feel about this state and investing in this state and creating jobs in this state, they want to see solutions. They want to see real action. And the rhetoric on both sides, I mean, if we're going into another Springfield session with flame-throwing and rhetoric and no real solutions, this state is not going to get any better fiscally, and people aren't going to feel better about it from a business perspective, and we're going to see more migration out of Illinois. And I'll tell you what, the SBAC, we do not want to see that happen. We want to see Illinois grow, not lose folks and not lose businesses. So, you know, I guess sort of coming back to the budget address, there were some good ideas. Are they doable? It doesn't seem likely. They all are. But we need everybody to come together and really sit down, get out that whiteboard, and start solving problems.
And as we've talked in the past, issues of budgetary matters are not just governmental. You look at the bill backlog that at one time was over $16 billion.
Right.
Now, I think, covering around $8 or $9 billion, down significantly, but still. But those vendors are very often small businesses.
Well, they are. And then think about it. So you're going to get a small tax cut, right? But that small tax cut isn't going to cover many times, most of the time, the bills that aren't being paid to you. So, you know, I think most small businesses would say, hey, pay my bills, state of Illinois. I mean, look, most businesses don't want to do business with the state of Illinois right now, and that's a shame. We should be a very large vendor. Or a very large
resource,
and customer to vendors in the state, Rick. But unfortunately, people don't believe that they're going to get paid. So, you know, what we don't want to do is go down that fiscal hole that we've been going down, dig it even deeper, and certainly another budget impasse. I mean, when we look at our legislative agenda for this coming year, I mean, agenda item number one is no budget impasse, no stalemate. Let's have a functional government that begins to restore the confidence of Illinois' small business community and everybody in the state of Illinois.
But how, and as I mentioned, I have Republican Senate Leader Brady on later in the show. How realistic do you think, given the election year politics, the fact that the partisanship has grown into this great divide, no one wants to give either side any kind of a victory, how realistic do you think it is to expect that there will be a budget agreement?
It depends.
It was never a problem in the past.
You know what? It depends on how engaged people want to get. It truly depends on whether grassroots organizations and just folks who are tired of the tennis match. It goes back and forth to the detriment of the state, put pressure on their local politicians and compel them to reach out to their party leaders and say, listen, you're endangering me right now. Through this budget impasse. I mean, it's going to come down to us. It looks like people are entrenched, they're dug in. You know, Rick, a lot of the really good legislators who are right in the middle, the common sense problem solvers, have retired. I mean,
yes.
they said we want, I don't know what they said. I can just tell you they retire. My gut tells me that they just didn't want to endure the nonsense that's going on in Springfield anymore. So we have to push our legislators. You get the government you deserve. I truly believe that. And it's going to be on us to push them not to have another budget impasse. Because I don't know whether the state, frankly, can handle another year like the one we had last year. I think people, if people are leaving now, I think it's just going to get exasperated and it's going to be a whole lot worse.
That's Elliot Richardson, founder and CEO of Small Business Advocacy Council. He's joining me here this morning. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, joined here in the Allstate Showcase Studio and Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue by Elliot Richardson, founder and CEO of the Small Business Advocacy Council. We're talking about their legislative agenda, which I think is more than just your legislative agenda.
Yeah.
I think it's an agenda on the part of others. But here we are. We were talking about the politics of election year as it relates to the budget. But there's also the politics of elections. And one of the things that has been talked about for years is this idea of trying to make or take much of the politics out of the map-making process in Illinois. And, you know, you look to the 1970 Constitution, and they thought it was such a great idea that if both sides couldn't agree, well, you draw a name out of the hat. Because who's going to let something that big go to chance?
Right.
And that's the way everybody's decided to do it, is let it go to chance, unless you have one branch control or one party control the legislature and the governor's office.
Well, it's so the Small Business Advocacy Council, we sort of have two different items that we push legislatively. One of the items are really what you just said, big good governance items, because essentially, you know, a small business isn't going to want to grow if, again, they don't believe that the state has a functional government. So some of those things we're pushing is reform to gerrymandering and term limits for leadership. So let me go to the redistricting, the gerrymandering. Legislators should not be able to choose their voters. Voters should be able to choose their legislators. If a small business owner, if an individual does not feel they have a voice in their government or the people that they're going to elect, then they're not going to have confidence in that government. So right now, the maps are drawn by the party in control of the legislature, and they're drawn in a partisan manner. They're drawn in a ridiculous manner. And unfortunately, what you get is uncompetitive races where politicians from both sides of the aisle are more beholden to their political leaders than they are to the voters. And hence, you get budget impasses, you get stalemates. 72% of the people in Illinois believe in reforming our redistricting process and letting that be done by an independent commission. So we have joined a coalition. We are strongly pushing for legislation that would put on a ballot an initiative for redistricting reform and cause those lines that determine so much and give voters a voice to be drawn by an independent commission, not partisan politicians.
And quite frankly, I think much of the problem was caused by the cutback amendment by voters that was brought to us by former governor and current attorney general candidate Pat Quinn, which created single-member districts, in contrast to the old three-member districts. And, of course, who in the public doesn't want to get rid of politicians? So that's how this thing came to pass. But what it did was it basically, you had three-member districts, two of a majority party, one of a minority party. I used to refer to the House back in I was there covering it in the last year of the old House. It was a floating crap game because you had all of these coalitions that would form from, Chicago Republicans and downstate Democrats. If you were Speaker of the House, you couldn't be sure whether you had a majority or not on any given day. But it created and incentivized working together and creating coalitions across regional and party lines to accomplish things.
That's a great point, Rick. Unpredictability is a very powerful thing. If you always know what your hand is when you go into the game, you're able to draw lines in the sand and be unwilling to compromise. And that unpredictability is gone. And people say to me, Richardson, why does the Small Business Advocacy Council care about gerrymandering? Again, because the small businesses that want to grow and prosper in the state and employ people are leery to do so without confidence in their government. And if you look at the past several years, why would we have confidence in our government right now? We've got to change that. And redistricting reform is a great way to do it. So that's one of the things on our legislative agenda.
And you also have term limits on legislative leadership.
Exactly. And that falls right into the same camp. And I'll tell you, the SBAC is a nonpartisan organization, and I see the most conservative and the most liberal members of our organization come together on these issues and say, again, we need confidence in our government. When people are there too long, it doesn't work. We do need term limits for leadership. And that's another. So Senator Morrison filed that bill. It's going to have bipartisan support. And, we're going to push it, and we're going to push legislators not to just talk about it and say they're for it, but to really get engaged and try to push it past the finish line this year.
Why not go the extra step to term limits for legislators?
Well, because there's some contradictory research in that regard on whether or not that puts too much power in the hands of bureaucrats.
Staffers, lobbyists.
I mean, that one I think is a bit more uncertain and not something as an organization that we've been able to say we push 100%. Legislative term limits for leadership, we absolutely can. And we think right now that's really the pain point for how a lot of people feel about our government.
And that wouldn't require a constitutional amendment.
That would not.
I mean, so the process is much simplified, except it's an internal process of the lawmakers once again deciding on their own kind of restrictive action against themselves.
Exactly. And I believe the Senate actually changed the rules to put that into place, but the rules can be changed back. So ultimately, we'd like to see this passed.
You mentioned as part of your agenda workers' comp reform.
And yes.
That's just like a perennial, I think, is. And we've, there were times where it seemed like they're close to a deal.
Yeah.
Commas and semicolons. And then all of a sudden, kaboom, out the window.
So a small business owner whose workers' comp rates go up really doesn't give a hoot about the politics, okay, about workers' compensation reform. They want to see a process that works. Unfortunately, workers' compensation reform has been completely politicized. So the SBAC has a proposal that will be legislation that would create a proportional system for workers' compensation causation. And we've talked about this before, Rick. And that is a compromise between where we're at now, which is a 1% causation standard, not fault causation, and where Governor Rauner is. And that's a 50% causation standard. Now, the 50% standard, the 1% standard, I think together, less than 10% of the states have either one of those standards. A proportional causation standard is the law in many more states, over 25 states, in one capacity or another. And that would simply be if you're injured and the cause of your injury is a 25%, if the accident is a 25% cause of your injury, then the employer would be on the hook for 25% of the damages. And we're going to push that. Is it going to move this session? I don't know. But what it should do is start the conversation about a real reform to workers' compensation.
It's going to be a busy session.
It's going to be a busy session, absolutely. And
I'm not sure how productive of one, but it's going to be a busy session.
You know, at some point, I think we're running out of time. But, you know, this there is one great bipartisan piece of legislation that we're very excited about, and this is allowing restaurants to serve alcohol within 100 feet of a church. It's been prohibited from an archaic law since the 1920s. We have bipartisan support on that. And when you look at economic development on the south and the west sides of the city of Chicago throughout this state, that could be a huge boon. So we do think in that respect, we have a really good chance of moving legislation that can empower small businesses and local communities that need the economic development.
And the governor has already vetoed, because these require state legislation for a local, basically zoning kind of issue. And the governor is vetoing these now and saying, get this out of the state's hands and let the locals deal with it.
He's 100% right. Senator Staines and Senator Napoleon Harris have come on to co-sponsor Senator Nybo's bill. This is something that we can do that can really help people.
Well, so there at least there might be something coming out of Springfield.
Absolutely.
It's Elliot Richardson. He's founder and CEO of the Small Business Advocacy Council. Elliot, as always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Rick.